Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome into Redacted on this Thursday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
Thank you so much for joining us. On this show, we seek the truth wherever it leads us. And we are not run by corporate media. We are not run by billionaires. We're supported by you. So thank you for supporting independent journalism, because independent journalism, if you haven't noticed, is under attack left and right, up and down by the deep state right now, being defunded, demonetized, and blocked. We've got a very busy show for you tonight on this Thursday, because reports are pouring in over the amount of Ukrainian soldiers who are turning themselves in, surrendering, laying down weapons. And the Western weapons that are piling up is astonishing. The numbers of Ukrainians surrendering is astonishing. We're going to break down this story for you. But at the same time, NATO is doing something interesting. While all of these surrenders are happening, we need more war. We need more money, and we need more weapons. So we'll look at the latest data.
Plus, we're going to bring you an update about a journalist who was arrested for discussing the Nazi salute in Canadian Parliament. Plus, we're going to tell you about a new law in the European Union, which is supposed to combat disinformation, but instead is being used to spread disinformation. I know it sounds comical, but it's actually true. Plus, we're going to talk about certain people who are being sanctioned because their country has waged war. It is not America, surprisingly enough. And we're going to bring you that update as well, as Redacted starts right now.
All right, welcome into the big show on this Thursday. We don't want to waste any time. We want to get right into the news, because we've got a very busy day for you, and we want to get right into it. So let's start right there, and let's talk about the biggest story of the day, which I think inarguably is what's been happening in the war in Ukraine. And we're going to be looking more deeply here in a second. So Ukraine is surrendering. I mean, that is the word. Tens of thousands of Ukrainian soldiers are laying down their weapons and surrendering to Russian troops. This is amazing, right? This is a story the Western media does not want you to see. Over the past few weeks, we've been tracking countless reports of Ukrainian men surrendering before they are to be killed. So you're going to see, like, take a look at your screen here. So these are night vision scenes in Ukraine, night vision capturing many of the moments as Russian forces surround these targets. There they are in the brush. You can see them coming out of the brush, and they're making announcements. Come out, live, or you will be killed. Thankfully, these men are coming out and they are surrendering. Just look at the screen. They're waving the white. Anything you have white that you can wave in your hands right now, please do it. And we will make sure that you are safe. You are taken care of. How many of you are there? Tell us how many of you there are. Don't lie to us. Come out, lay down your weapons, and you will not be hurt. You will not be killed.
Now, we have brought you reports that Russia has been dropping pamphlets to tell them exactly how to surrender so that they don't get hurt. We also know that from NATO reports, from leaked documents, that if they surrender as a unit, they cannot be prosecuted for desertion. So that's why we see them coached with almost identical language. As they get in a room, they say, we are all together. They explain that we are command that has been left without weapons, without any training, and we're stranded here, and we surrender. There's a formula to this, and we've seen it over and over again. You wouldn't see it if you're only watching CNN, but we've shown it to you.
Oh, no, the Western media is not going to show you this story. I guarantee you, you're not going to see this story on the front pages of the BBC tomorrow, CNN, the New York Times, or other places. You're not going to see reports of the thousands who have been laying down their weapons over the past few days. And here is Rabatino and another surrender that's happening. You can see them coming out of the brush, nighttime, night vision goggles again. I mean, they literally could be mowed down at a second's notice, and they're being given refuge. Drop your weapons, lay down your Western weapons, lay down on your face, make sure that you're not having any grenades, and tell us where you're coming from. Is there anyone else left in your, you know, in your troop? If there is, call them out, and we will check you to make sure that there's no other explosives on you, and then you will be given shelter, you will be given food, and you will be given medical attention.
But here are some of the 5 points that were published in Jacques Baud, the NATO specialist's book. He says, here are the ways that you surrender safely. This is what Russia is telling Ukraine. Abandon your position and leave the combat zone. Isolate nationalists and SBU, I guess, snitches, for lack of a better word. Record a video message to your command. Say that you've been abandoned by your commanders. And it says, be careful not to cross paths with nationalists whose task is to prevent you from surrendering or backing down by executing you.
Well, we've shown you videos here on the show, and we've been demonetized for showing it. But where you have the nationalists, you have Azov leaders basically shooting and executing Ukrainian soldiers who say that they don't want to fight anymore, so they're being shot. We've shown you those videos here, and that's absolutely what's been happening. And those who have managed to escape have told those stories about what has been happening. We showed you one horrible video where, yes, a commander or somebody ended up pulling a grenade and throwing it right into the room where these defectors were held up. So this afternoon, of course, here's the report. And we'll just go through this article more detail here on exactly the numbers here, saying, and this is the Gateway Pundit, better call Volga, 10,000 Ukrainian soldiers surrendering as a result of this Volga radio frequency. 10,000 Ukrainian soldiers have surrendered to the Russians using a special 1.49.200 Volga radio frequency, which has been operating since mid-summer. So this is a radio frequency, and it's been, you can see it here, spray painted on walls all over the place, inside of buildings. Surrender. Use this radio frequency only if you plan to surrender. Let us know your position, and then you will be taken into custody. You will be provided with all necessary medical care, and you will be fed and given food. And of course, this is all coming right now as winter is setting in and getting very, very close to inclement weather arriving within the next 30 days. And so we know what's coming. These poor men who have been dragged into NATO's war, sitting in trenches, freezing to death with no food. I mean, we saw it last year, for crying out loud. Now imagine a year later.
We saw it in May of 2022 in Mariupol, when many units of the Ukrainian army just surrendered and refused to fight. So that did not get better. And so many of them were dragged against their will anyways, but the will continues to mount as they realize this is a losing battle. I'm not going to die for this.
So here's a new video again. Again, these are, I could show you 100 videos. I'm just choosing to show you a few here that came in this afternoon. And here is one from another group of soldiers who used the Volga frequency. They dialed in and said, okay, we're done. We're done. We surrender. And then, of course, you can hear the Russian soldiers asking, you know, how many of you are there? Where are you? Get down on the ground and you will live. Here, watch. You know, asking, what is your unit number? Who are you? Be honest. Tell us who you are. So come out, put your heads down, hands up, drop your weapons, drop your Western weapons, your U.S. weapons, lay down. The amount of images we've seen over the past few days of all these weapons, these Western weapons, is amazing. Yeah, where are you from? What Western weapons are being used in this? Think about it, your American tax dollars piling up, here are just a few of the captured weapons over the past 24 hours. You can just see, Western weapons lined up there, ready to go after full stocks of ammo and everything else that won't be used to kill people, but it's your American tax dollars hard at work right there captured. So you want to send more armored vehicles? You want to send more, you know, Abrams tanks, as Russia has said? You want to send more of these Leopard tanks, Abrams tanks? The moment they arrive, they will be destroyed. So American tax dollars, you want to send it? We'll destroy it. These men can survive if they come out and lay down their weapons and end this craziness and stop being thrown into the meat grinder. And surrendering these forces, of course, providing vital details to the Russian army, by the way. So as these men have been captured, they've been telling where their positions are. Here's just one example. A Ukrainian officer who voluntarily surrendered yesterday gave Russian military secret information about spotters of the Ukraine armed forces and asked specifically where they are. He's then given food because he hasn't had food. So here he is telling where they've been located.
Еще раз представься. Капитан. Командир. Роты. Мостовского батальона. Отдельно мостовского приклада.
Как попал в плен?
Добровольно решил сдаться. Добирался до вас двое суток.
Понятно. Что за трофейчик ты нам принес?
Телефон, содержащий данные по офицерскому составу, по основным руководящим лицам на южном направлении.
Показывай. Куда?
Папка на рабочем столе, она единственная.
Вот это?
С документами, так точно.
Дальше.
Здесь в хранилище документов. Назад, хранилище документов. Здесь надо, где основные, нажать, чтобы отобразились все папки, в том числе и скрытые. Нажимайте основные.
Да?
Так точно, да, нажимайте.
Дальше.
Все. Здесь Дальше. Папка request.
So if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, he's looking at a folder
вот
with
документы.
Это что у нас?
His unit's positions and the 10th Army Corps position containing all of its commanding officers' positions and data on it that he provided upon his surrender. All of the positions. The position, the type of activity they're carrying out. Guys, like...
And what he said was, I voluntarily surrendered and it took me 2 days to get here.
Yeah.
And you can imagine what a terrifying 2 days that was. That is like the stuff of a Netflix movie.
Yeah.
Right. And we're pretending like it's non-real.
Well, do you remember a few weeks ago, we showed it here on the show, which was the video that Russia released. And it was propaganda by all accounts, but it was a Russian piece of propaganda that said, you have a choice. And it showed a Ukrainian soldier running and getting shot in the head. And said, you have a choice. You can either die like this or you can surrender. Are you sick and tired of dressing up as a woman to escape, trying to hide? Your family can't bribe officers to get you out of this war. You have a choice. Just put up your arms and surrender. So they put out this video. They put out this radio frequency. And tens of thousands of Ukrainians are taking them up on it. Now, of course, you're not going to see this in the Western media. And they're not going to share this with you because it would undermine the NATO message of wanting to prolong this war, to throw more Ukrainian men into the meat grinder. And right now, of course, Ukraine is out of men. So they've launched now the full process as we head into the winter of launching campaigns to conscript women. So the campaigns for bringing women into the front lines is the next big phase of this. So enough is enough. Again, The Hill even... Western media knows that we are heading into the winter. Here's The Hill. Clock ticks in Ukraine's offensive as bad weather approaches. And by the way, what is Zelensky doing in all of this right now? Pissing off India, pissing off Poland, pissing off NATO. I don't know. Asking NATO for more weapons, more money.
Pretending he was never in Canada.
Yeah, pretending he was never there. No journalists, as Max Blumenthal earlier today tweeted, you know, there's over 100 hack journalists that are in Kiev right now, Western-backed hack journalists, that none of them will ask the question of Zelensky. Like, this Nazi, literally right there, this Ukrainian Nazi in parliament, anything to say on that? No, silence, silence. No Western journalists will ask them that, will ask the regime that. So what is Zelensky doing right now? Well, he's meeting with Jens Stoltenberg, the head of NATO. He's, of course, asking for more money and more weapons. Watch.
реальність є доказом, що членство України в альянсі буде абсолютно природнім і таким, що посилює і Україну, і НАТО. Сьогодні ми обговорили з паном генеральним секретарем всі ключові оборонні питання, які потребують уваги, реальну ситуацію на полі бою та потреби українських воїнів.
Yeah. Okay. So we need to join NATO immediately is the message.
I love how he says that Ukraine would strengthen NATO. I mean, that's a poison apple.
Right.
That I don't understand how that calculation works.
Well, of course, they haven't added them to NATO yet. Is this going to be the moment now when you're seeing all of these Ukrainian men surrendering when they have no army left? Who is going to fight? American men? Are Americans going to be drafted to go and fight this now? This is the hot war that we knew was coming. This is maybe perhaps the moment. This was maybe perhaps all the plan all along to turn Ukraine into a NATO staging ground for war. As we learned over the past 48 hours, as the Biden administration has basically said, we want to turn Ukraine into a weapons manufacturing hub for NATO. So this is probably all part of the plan. And I really terrified at how this ends. Because either that ends with a full surrender, it ends with peace talks, and it ends now, or this is about to get a whole lot worse as we head into this winter. Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. Where do we go from here? Really, really troubling. All right, we've got more news to get to here on your Thursday, and a lot of news, actually. We're going to look at how if you speak out against Justin Trudeau as a journalist in the UK, particularly, you could be arrested. Yes, actually happened over the past 24 hours. A journalist arrested because of calling attention to what happened in Canada. The dictatorship of Justin Trudeau is far and wide. We're also going to look at more details coming out about his cocaine-fueled plane trip to India and more details emerging on that front from Justin Trudeau as calls for his resignation grow louder. But first
we want to tell you about our friends over at Genucel, because do you think maybe your face aged a bit over the summer, or did it enjoy the summer as much as you did? Well, here is Ella from Rockford, Illinois, saying, I have both aged and acne spots, and this stuff, Genucel, is actually fading both of them. This serum is worth every penny. What she's raving about is the dark spot corrector from Genucel, a must-have now after months of record heat and humidity. Sunspots, brown spots, discoloration, and even red inflamed patches, they all disappear in front of your eyes. Genucel is made and manufactured from just an hour from where we used to live, right in New Jersey. It's a family-owned and operated business with the purest of ingredients, never tested on animals. This is a company we really do like, and I see in the chat some people saying, this is some good stuff. You are right. This is the good stuff. And, you know, you only get one face. You should treat your skin like a piece of silk. The Genucel guaranteed is amazing. You'll see results the very first day, guaranteed or your money back. So take advantage of Genucel's most popular package, which includes the classic Genucel bags and puffiness treatment and immediate effects, all about 70% off. So you can try the best skincare in the world for yourself, completely risk-free. So go to Genucel.com/redacted and start looking years, maybe even decades younger tomorrow. Say goodbye to your dark spots and liver spots and all of that stuff with Genucel. Again, that's Genucel.com/redacted. We really do want to encourage you to support our sponsors, you guys, because the sponsors that are still willing to support independent voices are the ones that deserve our attention more than the ones that are going to say, I don't know, advertise on the Super Bowl,
or they're woke, or they suddenly they run away once, you know, independent media starts talking. And we've seen a couple of advertisers who've bailed on independent media folks over the past week or so. So, you know, again,
these are not fair weather friends.
It's a free show. You know, we provide a free show for you here. And so they support us again. So if this is a product you need or could use, and it's Christmas time coming up and you want to help support them, then great. So, you know, just want to remind you that they have been supporting us and independent media. And now more than ever, when you see advertisers who support our show, who support just, you know, other shows that you watch on Rumble and YouTube that are actually independent, just we have to rally around these we have to rally around these companies because they are few and far between. I will tell you, they are few and far between.
The other day, I was watching Kavor Kalmasian's show, Syriana Analysis, and I noticed that one of his sponsors is a vitamin D, and I was like, I'm buying that. I need vitamin D anyway. So I was like, click.
Yes, because your vitamin D levels are really, really low. The doctor said,
you don't just tell people my medical results.
Did I just violate a HIPAA law or something?
Okay. Anyway, Kavor, I did that for you, and also I did that for me.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, all right, we've got more news to get to, so let's do it. Well, journalists arrested for exposing Trudeau's Nazi salute the other day in Parliament. That actually just happened in the United Kingdom. Yes. We'll get to that part of the story in a moment. But first, will Trudeau resign? Chorus of calls now for Trudeau to resign. And we remain on Trudeau watch as new details emerged overnight about Trudeau's cocaine adventures in India. And Trudeau was high, plane full of cocaine, ex-diplomat makes stunning claims. So we have been learning more information now about just how much cocaine, how long he was out of it, how long the plane was grounded. So again, these reports come to us from Deepak Vohra, and we'll just put it up here on the screen and you can kind of read along with us here. He's the ex-diplomat who made these shocking claims about Justin Trudeau, about the airplane being filled with cocaine. And he says that basically he missed the G20 dinner because he was high on drugs and out of it. This is a stunning claim. And so he couldn't come to the meetings. The former diplomat also alleged that Canadian Prime Minister's plane was full of cocaine. Now, of course, the Prime Minister's office is coming out and denying all of this. This is in the wake, of course, of the and by the way, the sniffer dogs were the ones that found the cocaine on Trudeau's airplane. Of course, this comes in the wake of him going through this, you know, divorce. And here's what he has to say. I'll read it verbatim. During Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau's visit to India for the G20 summit this month, his plane was full of cocaine. He also missed the president's dinner, as some people say that he was not in his senses due to the drug consumption. So seeing this, nothing can be said about what goes on in his mind.
Is this breaking some kind of gentleman's agreement of politicians? I'm shocked to see it.
I know.
I'm shocked to see it in print.
Well, we certainly know the bad relations that have been unfolding between India and Canada.
The gloves are off.
The gloves are off, right? And this is calling. They're like, hey, you wanna do what you're doing to India? Fine. We're pulling the gloves off, and we're going to tell you what Justin Trudeau has been doing in India with his airplane on our tarmac and the drug-sniffing dogs, what they found there. So will he be forced to resign? Quite a chorus of calls over the past 24 hours for the Prime Minister of Canada to resign.
I mean, there's got to be a record of his attending or not attending diplomatic events. It would be pretty easy to say.
Other eyewitnesses who can confirm he was out of it. He was,
So what are we going to, I had some diarrhea, couldn't come out of the room.
I just stayed in the airplane the whole time.
Right. I was really into the season finale of whatever.
He's like, I was Netflix binging.
Stayed back in the plane with Motley Crue.
Yeah. Hung out like cousin, like a Uncle Eddie or Cousin Eddie. Crapper's full. I'm staying out here the whole time.
That's a Christmas vacation, National Lampoon's, you
guys. Got a Christmas vacation reference there. But
that was good. I liked it.
Meanwhile, a bombshell out of the UK tonight on Justin Trudeau, where a UK journalist was arrested for reporting about Justin Trudeau, covering the story, essentially. This comes to us from Sputnik and reported on multiple news outlets. UK journal arrested for malinformation after exposing Trudeau applauding a Nazi. So if you speak out against Trudeau, you could be arrested. That's exactly what happened. And I'm just going to go through the piece. UK journalist arrested for malinformation after exposing truth about Trudeau. A British journalist was arrested after he exposed the truth about Canadian Parliament's lauding of a Ukrainian Nazi SS Waffen member. The Waffen SS member, as British police clamped down on anybody sharing mainstream news on the internet. The British government has ordered law enforcement officials to begin arresting and prosecuting citizens who share non-mainstream opinions online that fact checkers disagree with, following the passing of the online safety bill last week. UK authorities now have the power to punish citizens who share anything deemed hateful or labeled as misinformation on social media. So Warren Thornton was hosting an edition of this podcast called The Real Truth on the evening of Sunday, September 24th, when police officers knocked at his door. The blogger has been critical on social media of NATO's support to Ukraine and the history of the 98-year-old Ontario resident Yaroslav Hunka, who was given a standing ovation in a House of Parliament this week, House of Commons. Then guest Fiona Ryan recounted how Warren Thornton suddenly vanished 20 minutes before the show ended, and she was talking with the fellow guest Johnny, host of the Cafe Revolution YouTube channel based in Donetsk. And then suddenly, as Thornton was confirmed that the officers from the regional cybercrime unit invited him to be interviewed, when he declined, they put him under arrest, drove him into a police station in Bristol, many miles from his home. They attempted to serve him with a formal caution for malinformation in relation to 16 videos he'd posted on social media.
Is that against the law?
I mean, in the UK, apparently, I guess you can't. You know, and this is exactly, of course, what the Canadian, what Canada is trying to do, and trying to ban the truth in Canada as well by, you know, internet censorship and making sure that the Canadian government has a clampdown on what is and what is not allowed to be presented.
Yeah, we're going to talk next about laws in the EU about censorship. The EU still does have a freedom of expression law on the books, but. You know, we'll see how much that is put into place. Also, if we can bring up the laptop of what I just sent you, you'll notice now that in Canada, users have submitted to Wikipedia for an edit of Yaroslav Hunka, who is the member of the Nazi Party that was saluted by Canadian Parliament. If you take a look at his Wikipedia page, you can see here this note. This article is being considered for deletion in accordance to Wikipedia's deletion party policy, because users are trying to get it removed that he was ever in Parliament or a member of Parliament. So now they're working to remove this, just strike it from the record. It didn't happen.
It didn't exist.
It embarrassed us. We're working to... It says, please share your thoughts on this article's deletion discussion page.
Well, this is exactly what David Creighton spoke about on our show yesterday, which is that the Trudeau government, of course, attempted to wipe from the parliamentary record that he ever appeared there and was given a standing ovation. They literally tried to rewrite history. They tried to write out that he did not appear there on, he was not on camera, he was not a part of this standing ovation, and from the official record. So if 100 years from now, you were going through the historical record of Parliament, there would be a blank spot. It would be removed and deleted. Fortunately, the opposition stood up and said, we're not voting for that, absolutely not. It will be part of the historical record.
How would the historical record then explain, like, the Speaker of Parliament stepping down?
Diarrhea. Everyone in Canada has
diarrhea.
Yeah. He ate too much poutine. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. How would you... Why did he step down? He just was having a bad day and he just decided to step down. You'd have to take out the whole chunk then.
Right.
You know, like,
and some of the arguments that are presented here in Wikipedia for deletion is like, this man is only famous for one event, not notable, or he's not famous enough. He's not notable. I mean,
actually, he is pretty famous because back, it turns out, in 2007, the Canadian Parliament also honored the guy.
Right.
Back in 2007.
Yes.
So this isn't like some new revelation. The Canadian Parliament had a record of the guy, had honored him previously, and did it again in front with Zelensky in town.
Yeah. So,
hey, Zelensky's here. Do we have any Nazis we can call? Like, he likes these guys. Can we get these guys to show up in Parliament? These are his guys. These are his people.
Apparently. So, you know, if you have any thoughts about this, you can ring in on the Wikipedia discussion page.
This
about
is
this.
Just goes to show
and
you
just
how
say
corrupt.
Like, we cannot delete things that we don't like.
How corrupt Wikipedia is.
I love
course.
That, like, the liberal establishment canceling itself.
Right.
Right, for things that it doesn't like. We didn't do that. Let's cancel that.
That didn't happen. Selective memory. Right. That didn't happen at all. We've got more news to get to here on your Thursday. We're going to talk about this information control and who is responsible for the information on the internet. We're also going to look at the billionaire privilege. Why is it that they can go after Russian oligarchs because Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine. But when the United States invades all of these countries, why is Jeff Bezos allowed to have his yacht parked in wherever he wants to be parked? America is involved in multiple illegal invasions right now. So why are they safe? Why are American oligarchs safe when the United States invades other countries? We will get there. But first, if you are interested in building long-term wealth, then listen up. The number one way to build wealth in the United States is by owning cash-flowing real estate. It is the ultimate hedge against inflation. It has the ultimate tax benefits. There is no better asset class in America to own than real estate from a wealth building perspective. And there are single family rentals now available at a very low price point that you can own as an investor using financing built right in. And so our team at Morris Invest offers full service rental real estate to help you build wealth while protecting money from inflation and taxes. Now, our team just finished building 40 brand new construction, a limited number of single family homes in West Texas, about a 10 minutes drive from Texas Tech University. They're very affordable. These are our most popular units, by the way, because they're under 200,000 and they sell very, very fast. So we just completed 40 of them. They're all completed. They are ready to go. They are ready to be rented up with an 18% internal rate of return, built in the best school districts in the top growth markets. This is one of the kitchens. This is the blueprint here. You can see this is one of the actual homes here. You can see it as it was finished, and you can see the walkthrough of the property, the construction, the stainless steel appliances, and all of those things here in this property. You're buying the price at or below market value, okay? At or below market valuable. Market value, principal reduction as your tenant does pay for the asset, steady increase in appreciation and equity, as well as rents. Huge tax benefits, of course, for owning this. And we're actually doing some extra bulk benefits right now if you lock one of these in before October 31st. Anyone who goes under contract on one of these, again, we only have 40 of them left. Before October 31st, one of the incentives is a special lending rate buy down. So where lending rates are right now, a lending rate buy down. So all you need to do is book a call with the team, go to morrisinvest.com, morrisinvest.com, or the link there on your screen, redacted.inc/invest. Either one will take you there, but you go to morrisinvest.com or redacted.inc/invest, whatever's easiest for you. That way you can book a call with the team, and a little calendar will pop up on your screen where you can pick on your calendar the time that is best for you. And then our team will give you a call and talk you through it and see if it's a fit for you. Again, financing built in. These are all done. We only have 40 of them left. And if you lock it in before October 31st, they'll have a special lending rate buy down as well. So, and even if you don't do anything, you'll just come away with some great valuable insight talking to the team and seeing if like real estate investing in the future is great for you. And we've got tons of education stuff over there that you can also see. So this is something we're very, very passionate about. So check it out if it's of interest to you. And hey, I see Jaden. Thank you guys for subscribing to the show. We really, really appreciate it. If you do subscribe, your name will pop up here on the big screen. And thank you guys so much for supporting independent media. If you smash that like button, it actually pushes the show further out into the YouTube algorithm, which loves to suppress independent media. So I can see we have about 7,000 people who've liked the show so far. If you smash that like button, again, it pushes it further out into the algorithm. So thank you guys so much.
It really does work. Thank you so much for doing that. We had a super chat earlier about covering Serbia and Kosovo. That's not on the agenda tonight, but it is something that we do cover.
It is something
often.
We're working on, by the way. We are working on it. So hopefully early next week, we will have an update on what's happening with Kosovo and NATO provocation in Serbia.
Right. Okay. But first, is Vladimir Putin working with Elon Musk to spread disinformation on Twitter? Everything that you say, is it from Russian bots? That's what the European Union wants you to believe. They say it's all Elon Musk's fault. He can't control Twitter. And it's all those Russians getting in there with social media. And the mainstream media is falling right in line with this lie, just like this steaming pile of lies from the BBC, which was posted just yesterday. So look at the headline. Russian disinformation most active on X, formerly known as Twitter, EU says. So this headline is just almost irresistible to the mainstream media. It's all the things that they love to hate on. It's Putin, Russia, Elon Musk. It's a gimme, right? All in one go. Well, what the EU is saying here is that Elon Musk doesn't have a handle on Russian disinformation, and the BBC is happily going along with it like a good dog. And we know that the EU had it out for Musk from the day he announced that he had bought Twitter. Do you remember this tweet? This is from Terry Breton, a European commissioner. When Elon Musk said the bird is free, they said, oh, in Europe, the bird will fly by our rules. Well, what are the rules for expression in Europe? It's worth noting. Article 11 of the EU's Charter of Fundamental Freedoms guarantees freedom of expression. That's still a thing.
Really?
Yes.
You can do that?
It is still a thing written down for European citizens.
Not enforced, I guess.
Right. Everyone has the right to freedom of expression, and freedom and pluralism of the media shall be respected. Okay. So it's clear that EU politicians don't value freedom of expression as much as the written charters do. With this in mind, watch how European Commissioner Vera Jourova blames blames disinformation on Twitter directly on Russia. Look at this quote from the headline that I just showed you, the BBC headline saying it's bad. Russian disinformation is really bad, mostly on Twitter. She says the Russian state has engaged in the war of ideas to pollute our information space with half-truths and lies to create a false image that democracy is no better than autocracy. Russia was aiming at a multi-million euro weapon of mass manipulation, she says. The threat was particularly serious because of the war in Ukraine and the upcoming European elections. Okay, how does she know that? How does she know that Russians are really vociferous and active on Twitter? Well, she uses as proof this EU study that was commissioned by the European Union, by a disinformation monitoring startup called Trust Lab, which compiled this report, Code of Practice on Disinformation. Incidentally, Trust Lab is a partner with the CIA, so I'm not sure that whoa, this report will...
Shocking.
Shocking.
Wow.
Shocking. I know.
That's where she's getting your information.
Yes. Well, okay, shocking a couple things, right? The European Union decided to use this company that partners with the CIA to, and that's what they're going to base their, that's what they're going to hang their hat on for disinformation. You don't think there's any bias there? You don't think there's any problem there? Okay. Also, European taxpayers are paying for this report from the CIA. I don't think most Europeans that I speak to, sorry, I have a hair in my mouth. They do not want to be led around by a leash by the United States. I don't think European politicians have got that memo, though, because they're fine to hire this company that has a contract with the CIA. Okay, let's pretend that that's not a bias and just look at what they say, right? Because a lot of times I open these and I was like, well, this? Okay, but you got to read it. You got to see what's there. Let's look at what this study says. It says that they find that misinformation is most discoverable on Twitter. What they mean is, like, can you find it if you search keywords and things like that? And then they give you a ranking versus where you discover it on other social media platforms. Twitter, obviously, having the highest score of discoverability versus Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and the likes.
When are they going to stop calling it Twitter, by the way?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. This report did come out in September this month, so I guess they should. And they're saying that they only studied three countries, which was Spain, Poland, and Slovakia. Well, how did they figure this out, that disinformation was very prolific on Twitter? What they did, they tell us, is they took a sampling approach, searching for specific keywords related to current mis- and disinformation topics. Well, they never define those topics, ever. They make us just sort of
guess.
I was
about to ask, what exactly are the topics that are the so...
All they give us is that, like, topics around COVID in Ukraine. So we are supposed to trust that what they're saying is misinformation is misinformation, and we never get the keywords. They also say they ranked disinformation actors, but they don't name them. So we don't know what they mean. They just said, trust us, we know what misinformation is, and we found it the most on Twitter.
Can they give us a case study? Because
they
just,
do not.
They don't give us a case study. So the last or 2 weeks ago, when there was that attack on that market in the Donbass, right?
Yes.
And immediately the Western media came out and said, "See, Russia attacked the market on their own land, right? They attacked their own people." And we had journalists who were there who almost immediately confirmed that it came from Ukraine. The direction of it came from Ukraine. We reported that it came from Ukraine, right? But we would have been labeled misinformation. It took a few days. A week later, the New York Times finally released a report saying that they confirmed it was fired from Ukraine. They confirmed the trajectory. They confirmed it from eyewitnesses. So in that amount of time, they would have probably labeled us as misinformation.
Well, and a disinformation actor.
Right.
Exactly right. So we don't get the search terms. We don't get the parameters at all. We're just supposed to trust that they found it at these rates
right.
on Twitter based on their own keywords. Now, that is a bullshit methodology. I have a graduate degree in sociology. I know how to conduct social research. That's not it. You don't hide your methodology. So I'm sorry I cursed, but it's bullshit. Also,
they did have a pretty graphic, though, that showed that number on there. And that's pretty irrefutable. If
you're
you have
right.
a nice looking graphic with a number on it. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
What more do you want?
Yeah, you don't okay. need facts when you've got pretty graphics.
But the headline that we're going with from the European Commissioner is that this is from Russia, that all this disinformation that they're giving you the rates of is from Russia. Well, how do they know that from this report? They don't. They don't even try to see where this disinformation comes from. It's not a part of their study. It was not built in to the foundation of the study. They don't even try. So it could be from Russia. It could be from Atlantis. It could be from Washington.
I hope it's from Atlantis. Maybe you can give us some information about where Atlantis is.
Yes.
That would be fantastic.
If we can IP trace them, that
yes.
would be nice. So the study doesn't even try to find the source of this. So why is this European commissioner saying it's from Russia? She has no data for that. Why is the BBC repeating it? Do you see where I'm going here? They are creating misinformation based on a study about misinformation. And I cannot. So
based on a study that's backed by the CIA.
Right. I mean, let's just pretend it's not. That in and of itself is bad enough, is that they're using the guise of misinformation to perpetuate misinformation.
Right.
And you know I hate the word misinformation. So let's
I don't even know what they mean anymore. What is disinformation, malinformation? They arrested that
right.
UK journalist for reporting about Canada and they called it malinformation.
Well, they're What's using the popularity of this platform of misinformation to tell lies. They don't know that it was from Russia. And in fact, we know from the Twitter files that even when Democrats asked Twitter to give them proof that content that they didn't like was from Russia, Twitter said, "We can't find that. We don't see any information that this is Russian-based disinformation."
That was before Elon Musk took over.
Yes.
So that's important to point out that
right.
this was not when Elon Musk was in charge. This was under Jack Dorsey's leadership.
Right. So journalist Matt Taibbi reported on this because he saw internal communication from Twitter saying, "We can't give you what you want, American politician. We know you want to say that this is from Russia. We can't find it." So what did those Congress members do? They went and made it up. They found a source that was not reliable, and they went to the media with it anyway. Remember this report from Matt Taibbi.
Matt, before you go, real quick, what happened when Twitter said, "Oh, well, we can't identify Russian bots. We can't identify that this was actually Russian disinformation. That's not what we're finding." Then what did they do to pressure Twitter?
Well, the usual means is they would go to their friends in the corporate press, and Twitter would be hammered by, you know, mainstream press organizations who would say, basically, Twitter is not doing enough to combat foreign interference. As you know, because you were reporting on it at the time, Congressman Devin Nunes got an extraordinary amount of abuse because it was claimed that the hashtag release the memo was boosted by Russian bots. But we now know, based on stuff that we've seen internally, in these emails that there were no Russian bots, that Twitter was actually telling senators like Richard Blumenthal, don't do it, you're going to look foolish, and they did it anyway.
And when they didn't get what they wanted, they went to CNN, the New York Times, Washington Post, and they got stories manufactured against Twitter.
Okay, so what we are seeing now in the EU is a carbon copy of that playbook. Is this like, let's make it up. We don't have any data, but we're going to do it anyway. And the mainstream media is just taking it like a bone, just to, and not doing their own research. So what they're telling us is, you know, this is Russian information because I'm telling you, because we commissioned a study, but don't read it yourself. Now, one more problem I have with this Trust Lab story, I mean, so many, but worth highlighting, is that they don't give us this list of keyword topics. So they could have searched natural immunity for all we know. And right now, we should collectively agree that natural immunity is a great way to protect yourself against COVID, right? We know this now, but that was marked as misinformation not too long ago. They also used these, again, disinformation actors, but they don't tell us what it's about. So these topics alone should tell you that this is not a foregone conclusion that these topics here, yeah, that one, that disinformation is disinformation. They give us just an idea of how that works, but not specifics. And yet The Guardian and the BBC all felt like, yeah, this is good enough. We'll run with it as a headline. You know, Russia is perpetuating fake news on Twitter. It's a cheap shot. We'll take it without even doing it any research ourselves, without even looking ourselves. This is lazy journalism, so much so it made me really mad. And so yesterday on Twitter, I called out the BBC for this. And so I posted this, basically a summary of what I've just told you, that this is based on disinformation monitoring startup. I didn't mention the CIA because, you know, you don't want to just throw too many bombs in one tweet. And I just said, this doesn't attribute these accounts to Russia. Laziest journalism ever. Read the report first, dummies. And so, look at that tweet.
See, that's as cruel as she gets. Dummies.
Yeah, I call them dummies.
Dummies.
And so look at the headline there. It said Russian disinformation, right? Well, notice the headline today is different. They took out the Russian bit. Is it because I called them out on it? Because maybe I told them they should read the report? Or, I mean, I'm not going to give myself that much credit.
Yeah, but let's give Redacted credit. Maybe Redacted, they watched Redacted.
That tweet got a lot of engagement. I appreciate those of you who shared it because then they took it down. I mean, other media outlets have not done the same. You can just search for the reach of this story and find lots of Russia still there only because one politician said it, you guys. It's not part of the data. It's worth noting that this terribly done report is being used to justify the EU Digital Services Act, a law that requires social media to report on how they handle disinformation. Well, they should not be reporting to these people who are perpetuating disinformation. This unequivocally a power grab. The government is trying to control speech on platforms that they can get their hands on. They desperately want to. This is what the Biden administration is trying to do now by appealing to the Supreme Court. We don't yet, as of right now, know if the Supreme Court will take up that case, Missouri versus the Biden administration. I am hoping that they do so that free speech becomes solidified as an American right. And I'm sad to see it eroded in other Western nations. So let me know what you think of this in the chat below.
And it was evened in our chat says even Linderfell. I'm trying to say your German name correct. If you're German, says Redacted is the best. But the last 2 days, the chat has been shut down here in Germany on YouTube. So is Germany censoring our chat? Anybody else from Germany right now? We know that Germany has been doing a lot of that. So let us know if that's been happening in Germany there. Very interesting. Let us know. All right, we've got more news to get to here in a moment. But first, hey, should we tell everyone about the store? Well, I guess we should tell everyone about our store. I don't know if we got the new items up just yet in time for fall. I know that the team has been working on that. But if you go to redactedstore.com, you can pick up, any hoodies or mugs, anything you want to do to support independent journalism, you can do that at our Redacted store. We've got some great stuff over there. You guys were chiming in last night and giving us all kinds of great ideas for for new items to add to the store. Trucker hats, dog leashes, all sorts of stuff. We got a whole bunch of great designs coming that you're going to love. Some brand new specialty t-shirts. We've got a couple of some of our new taglines, and all of that's coming very soon. So redactedstore.com. You can go over there right now and pick up something to support independent journalism and hopefully support hopefully your favorite independent show, or at least one of them. You know, and there's a few of them out there, so maybe the, maybe we're
one
of them.
We'd like to be in your top five.
There are a couple super chats. Yeah, Robert Brevort, am I saying your name right? Robert, thank you for your $50 super chat. Says thank you. Thank you for being a part of our community. We really appreciate it. And thanks to all of you who provided super chats and who've joined us here, became new members tonight, like Caitlin, Jason Watkin, Terry McCarthy, Angie Warren, Kala, Carol White, Rodomir, you said from Serbia. Thank you, guys. We'll be covering that. Frank Rizzo, Armin, thank you for your $10 super chat. Time is short. World is coming to an end. Turn your life to Jesus. Thank you, Armin. 16 says that. Lady Trucker, America, rise up. Fight for your men not to fight in this war. Thank you for that. And thanks to all of you for your kind, and Allison Carr and Hey What Up, thank you for your $5 super chat as well. And Allison Carr, you guys are amazing. So guys, thank you so much for supporting our show. And yeah, we've got more news to get to.
All right. Yes, we do. So what does Jeff Bezos, why does he get a $500 million yacht? Now, this is not an existential question, like, why do some people have so much and some people have so little? I want to actually ask, why has the international community allowed him to have this yacht? Take a look at this. This is the yacht of an American oligarch, you guys. This is the Amazon founder's 127-meter yacht. But don't worry, it's not being seized by international governments. It's just being moved into the great beyond so that Bezos can enjoy it. You may recall that he had a fight with the city of Rotterdam because the yacht was so big that he needed to dismantle a historic bridge to get it out launched. And the people of Rotterdam revolted and said, no, you're not destroying our bridge for your yacht. And so he had to sort of work around it. It was a hardship.
There are a bunch of people in Rotterdam that are big Redacted viewers, by the way. We got to meet them a few weeks ago in Rotterdam, and they came up to us. So, yeah, we got to see that bridge, and it was a beautiful old bridge. And, you know, I mean, I don't know, but the idea that an oligarch could come in and say, we're going to take apart this bridge, this historic bridge, because I want to move my yacht through it. Can you imagine? Like, we're going to take apart the Brooklyn Bridge so I can move my yacht.
I cannot imagine the egotism that allows you to even make that request.
Yeah.
Now, why is his yacht not being seized in international waters? Because he's American. Because he is not a Russian oligarch. He's an American oligarch. Unlike this poor fool who owns this 120 million yacht that was seized in Antigua, the owner is Andrei Grigorievich Gurev, a Russian phosphates magnate who dared to own a yacht while being Russian. I'm not really calling him a fool. I just want to make that clear. Since this was sanctioned by the U.S., the people of Antigua and Barbuda have had to pay $28,000 per week in tax money. Their tax money, this is not a rich island, you guys, to pay tax money to maintain the stationary boat, including the salary of an Italian captain at $2,000 a day in diesel to keep the air conditioning running. They can't just let it turn off because mold will spread throughout. It's humid in the Caribbean. But if the owner were American, it could sail on its merry way. What about Bill Gates? Did you know that Bill Gates owns the Four Seasons? This one kind of slipped past me. He's owned the Four Seasons since 2007. I did not know that. How come he gets all of these luxury hotels around the world that are not seized? In fact, last year, in addition to all the farmland, he also bought up a historic building in Rome called the Palazzo Marini. Take a look at that. It's lovely. It's right near the Spanish Steps, so prime real estate location. He says it's a fixer-upper, but still, how come he gets that? This is the question that former NATO analyst Jacques Bode asks in his book Operation Z about the conflict in Ukraine. He says the invasions, illegal and illegitimate, of Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, and Syria by Western countries have given rise to neither sanctions nor condemnations. Disabled Americans or Polish athletes are not deprived of Paralympic Games. British cats not excluded from cat shows. Polish, German, American, British, French, or Lithuanian weightlifters not convicted for crimes they did not personally commit. British, American, or Swiss tennis players not forced to condemn their governments or participate in order to participate in a tournament. Chopin's Polonaise did not become Iraqis, and the atrocities of the Polish military were not condemned. While the Russian operation, it seems suddenly that the West has created a consciousness, but which functions, as we will see, in a very selective and variable geometric way. Good question, right? So let's keep those people in mind, because I think it's a foregone conclusion. We know if you are American, your country is currently occupying Syria, has occupied Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Somalia. We can go on, right? But let's just for now, because this is the most, I would say it's the biggest occupation currently, is the occupation of Syria. We've had Kavork Galmasian, who showed you the maps just last week. So, okay, we are occupiers right now. It's incontrovertible. And in fact, Syria has just asked the United Nations for help, not that they will. So by this rationale that Russia invaded Ukraine, right, then Westerners should be sanctioned too for our current occupation of Syria. So then if you're American, you have an American passport, you shouldn't own a car. You better not own anything internationally, right? By this rationale, it should be seized by the international community, because we have all agreed that we should punish citizens for what their government does. Now, incidentally, the idea behind this is that these oligarchs will rise up and turn against their government, and it will bring down the fall of Putin. That has not been the case. In fact, these oligarchs have felt even more, by and large, more empowered to make the sacrifice by their country, by most reports. And I think it's worth saying that American occupation of Syria is an occupation. Russia occupation of Ukraine is not. They were asked to come into that place under Article 51 of the United Nations Treaty, which allows self-defense as an exception to the prohibition against the use of force, because Ukraine had ordered an attack on those people. So it's not the same, but let's pretend that it is. And then talk about, like, who gets punished internationally and who doesn't. So look at this. This week, Epic Games refused to pay two Fortnite champions because they were Russian. The two young men posted their communication from Epic Games telling them they could not claim the $200,000 cash prize because they come from a prize-restricted region. But they don't live in Russia. They were playing from Belarus, which is not a prize-restricted region. And one of them holds a bank account in Kazakhstan, which is not one either. Fortnite doesn't seem to care, even though the boys say, one of them 17, so I will call them boys. They spent their own money to enter. It was expensive for them to get visas. It's expensive for them to train and, you know, have the equipment to be such good Fortnite players. This is their dream. They should have been told at the outset that they couldn't win. Before they put forth
or
all
enter.
Of this effort.
Like, you can't enter because you're in a restricted zone. So, you know, you're going to win $200,000. Sorry, you don't get to keep that money.
They're kids, right? They're kids who are playing a game. What is the purpose of not giving them their money?
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's outrageous that these kids, you're basically blaming these kids for your government's politics. You're basically saying that these kids have anything to do with the government's politics. Even the damn Olympic Committee has been walking back their overreaction to everything on allowing a path to Paris 2024 for Russian athletes. And you have the Football League, which is now allowing Russian athletes to participate again. Tennis is saying we're going to allow them to. So
yes, but Epic not Games, with their flag.
Oh, they can't carry their flag.
So think of, you know, American tennis players or American golfers not allowed to play with the American flag because of what their country has done. That it's the equivalent. You cannot make an argument that Tiger Woods shouldn't be able to play with his flag, but I'm sorry, I don't know any Russian golfers. Do you?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
No, you put me on the spot.
Sorry.
I know a lot of golfers, but I can't think of a Russian one off the top.
But yes, we would never do this to America, right? So why do we agree to do it to Russian, not even people, things? Like last year during the European Tree of the Year competition, a tree was banned because it was planted by Ivan Turgenev nearly 200 years ago. We sure showed that tree and dead novelist.
Can't call it a Russian oak anymore.
Is the idea that that this novelist is going to somehow overthrow Putin?
Yes, right. From the grave
for 200 years. Go haunt Putin until he gets out of Ukraine, and we'll acknowledge your tree.
Right.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Oh, someone in the chat, Ollie Fox, says Fortnite took their entry fee. No problem. So Epic Games was glad to take their entry fee. No
That's
problem.
A good point.
By the way, side note. Today, it was announced this afternoon, Bloomberg reported that Epic Games is now having to lay off 16% of its staff. Go woke, go broke. Is this like a woke move that's driving people away from Epic Games? 870 employees are going to be, were canned today by Epic Games.
Maybe they just can't. Maybe they made those kids win so they didn't have to pay this out.
Right. They're like, 200,000? Okay, well.
Give it to the
we'll,
Russians.
We'll just get you.
And then we'll pretend we can't. Now look at the dogs. They really stick it to those Russian dogs. This dog competition banned these breeders because they had Russian owners who dared to want to put their own flag on their dogs. You can recognize the hypocrisy and the absurdity here, I hope. I shouldn't have to go into it.
By this account, I mean, Americans wouldn't be allowed to compete in anything. The amount of occupations that the United States is currently involved with illegally, I mean, Syria has been asking the United Nations, this is an illegal occupation of Syria. The United States is illegally occupying Syria, stealing its oil.
Yeah.
As the Cradle reports, over 80% of daily output of Syrians' oil is stolen by the United States. So by that measure, Americans shouldn't be allowed to participate in anything.
Yeah.
Epic Games, anybody who was an American who participated in your Fortnite championship series, kick them out. They're in a restricted zone.
Yeah.
Can't take those prize monies home.
These little 5K races that I like to not win.
You're not going
to
be able to do it.
I shouldn't be allowed.
Not going to be able to do it.
Not going to work here anymore. So again, what we were saying is that we should have learned this from the Japanese internment camps. You don't punish people for what you think of any government. Just today, the Union of European Football Associations says that they will readmit Russian junior teams to international events, but they cannot fly their country's flag and they will not be allowed to play the national anthem. So, again, I guess while I feel this way, I should not try and win those 5Ks that I don't even come any close to.
No,
I should not enter our dog Grover in any competitions until my country gets out of Syria.
Yeah, or all the other places we're occupying and the 900 military bases that we have around the world. So thank you guys so much for joining us on this Thursday, and please subscribe to the channel. Oh, I forgot to mention our newsletter. To the 40,000 of you that are watching us right now, the 20,000 on Rumble, thank you so much. To the 21,000 of you here on YouTube, thank you. Let me click over to Rumble, make sure I got my numbers right. Yeah. So 20,000 there, 20,000 here. Thank you guys to the 40,000 of you watching tonight. Please subscribe. We have a daily newsletter and it's totally free. And it's our way to stay connected with you because these platforms love to censor us. They love to ban us and block us. They've done that multiple times. And when we got banned on YouTube a couple of months ago, we couldn't post anything. YouTube won't allow you to post anything, a community post. You can't even pin a comment. You're not allowed to do anything. And so the only way we were able to communicate with you was through our newsletter and to be able to tell you, hey, join us on Rumble tonight because we can always talk on Rumble. So anyway, our redacted newsletter, we try to bring a lot of value to you with the newsletter. We publish it Monday through Thursday. So you'll get a new one on Monday, but it covers the news. We cover some of the big stories that you might have missed while you were sleeping, and we publish it at about 7 a.m. Eastern time. And the way to sign up for it is to go to redacted.inc. That's the website. It's not .com. It's .inc. Put in your email address, and you'll receive a welcome email. You have to confirm it in your inbox. Otherwise, it probably goes into your spam folder. Gmail labels us as dangerous, so be careful. It's a very dangerous newsletter because we try to tell the truth. And then just confirm it. And then the following morning, you'll receive the newsletter. Like I said, the next one will come out on Monday. So again, totally free. And you can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes over your cup of coffee.
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, that does it for us this week. You will see us here live again next week. Someone wrote me an email and said, say the time zones. You'll see us again on Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's 1 p.m. Pacific. The newsletter comes out every day, Monday through Thursday, and we will have content for you over the weekend. So please stay tuned to Redacted. Catch up on anything you missed. Like, share, subscribe. We call those the reruns, even though no one says reruns anymore.
Yeah, and big 9/11 interview on the 9/11 attacks coming out tomorrow. It'll be available first for our Plus Club members. So if you're a Plus Club member, great. Thank you guys so much for supporting our show. That'll come out first tomorrow, so you guys can see it in the Plus Club, and then it'll be available later on. But tomorrow, if you're a Redacted Rebel, then you will get that interview tomorrow. Really, really eye-opening. I had chills doing the interview. I was sitting there and I looked down at my arm and I had goosebumps because of what I was hearing. So, and that doesn't happen often to me because I think in this business, I've heard a lot of things. So really, really troubling things, but we'll share it with you on the 9/11 attacks. So anyway, guys, check that out. We'll see you guys over the weekend and have a great rest of your night. Bye now.